The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week with your host, Tomasz Fonseca, and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Hello and welcome back to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Timothy Caetano, and today I'm joined by, a person who has all the, tips, advice to help you elevate your real estate career. He's been around for a while and, man, he has so much wisdom to share and so much, answers that we're going to get. I know you guys have been dying to know, hey, is this a perfect time to buy a house? Well, the man with the answers is here. And you're wondering, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Keith Curless. How are you, sir? How are you doing?
Doing great.
Oh, well, hey, so it's great to have you here. I've been really looking forward to having this conversation with you and just getting to know you a lot better. For our audience that might not know who you are, can you tell us a bit more about yourself and how you got into real estate?
Yeah, we have a small family business. My wife has been doing real estate off and on for about 27, 28 years. She started back in the old gold jacket days with Century 21 in Philadelphia and had always wanted to have her own real estate company. So we've been entrepreneurs for many years. We've had many different types of businesses, but about 9 years ago, we started our family business called Corliss Realty, and that was really a way for her to do things the way she'd always wanted to do, but was never really able to have that flexibility working for other companies. And so we wanted to approach things a little bit differently. We wanted to provide a service that would help more people, make things easier for people. 9 years ago, when we launched Corliss Realty, we did it in a little bit of a different way. And we really leaned on her experience. I have been involved in different types of real estate businesses over the years, mortgage businesses. I did my first mortgage loan for a client back in 2005. So we've been around this for a long, long time, but decided to go out on our own with it about 9 years ago. And it's always been Tamara's passion to do real estate. For me, I'm more of just a general business guy. It doesn't really matter what the product or the service is.
All right. Oh, okay. Keith, are you still there?
It's all in is and get.
Sorry, I lost you for a minute there, Keith. Okay. But yeah, I also had you at, you explaining, your role in this family business that you guys started 9 years ago. And you explaining that, you're more of a businessman. It doesn't really matter which field it is. You are there to add your expertise and to help elevate the company. And what has that been like for the last 9 years, having to support your wife through this real estate journey and help build a successful team that you guys have right now?
Yeah, it was a little difficult for me. I had not been directly involved in the real estate business up until when we started back in 2015. And it was a learning experience for me in the beginning. And, the first year was not as easy as I thought it would be. And I really had to learn what would work and what wouldn't and how to get our name into the market. And I discovered something that I think a lot of agents don't know when they first get into the business. And really for me, just looking at it from the outside in and not looking at it from a real estate agent's perspective, it occurred to me pretty quickly, about 95% of this business is customer acquisition, finding clients. The other 5% is actually doing the transactions. The processes have streamlined over the years. The way that you show homes, the way that you schedule showings, the way that you write contracts, the way that deals are negotiated, those things have all been streamlined over the years. A lot of it's been automated. A lot of it's been computerized. A lot of it's been made easier and faster for the agent. Doing those deals has become easier. And it has become much easier not to make mistakes because there's a lot of stop gaps that are built into that technology to make sure that your deal is staying on track and that you're meeting all the requirements of the regulatory agencies. So my understanding of it, my moment in the beginning was, hey, you know, I thought this was going to be all about doing real estate deals. Doing real estate deals is going to be a very small part of this. Mm-hmm. Customer acquisition is going to be the key to the entire business. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my only focus since the beginning.
Wow. That is amazing. And one thing that I love is, you know, a lot of the, I would say, successful agents that we've had on the podcast, always, you know, when we talk about their success, you know, they always point back at their spouse and be like, this is where my support came from. If it wasn't for my husband, if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't have made it this far. I think it is definitely the secret to most of their success because that's where the peace comes from. I wonder what that is like for you and your wife. You know, like you guys work together and you go home. How do you work it out? How do you manage the work-life balance? You know, being able to separate work from your personal life, because I bet it must be hard. You're trying to have a good time. You're out on vacation and you just bring up business. So she brings up business. How do you work around trying to balance that?
Working with your spouse or having a business with your spouse, I would definitely say is not for everyone. It's not something that I think everyone would be able to pull off. Yeah. In some situations, it's great. In some situations, it's not. Mm. We've been married for over 20 years. We've known each other for a long time. We met on the job 21 years ago and worked together when we first met. So we knew about each other's work ethic and how we handled things on the job from day one. So that may have given us a little bit of an edge. We knew what to expect. And you do have to create a balance. And I think for us, we have really compartmentalize things in a way that helps us not constantly be talking about business. And we've really split the duties in a way that my focus is on marketing, advertising, customer acquisition, the business side, accounting, bookkeeping, cash flow, taking care of the office, taking care of any staff that we've had over the years, taking care of payroll, taking care of paperwork, and leaving her with the sole responsibility of taking care of clients. I would not say that she understands everything that I do on a day-to-day basis 100%. And I would say I don't understand what she does on a day-to-day basis 100%. So that separation and the fact that we have multiple other businesses happening at the same time that I'm mostly on the management side of, really kind of breaks it up and takes the focus away from the one thing that we are doing together 100%. It's worked out for us, and I think it could work out for a lot of people, but I wouldn't say that it's for everybody, that's for sure. Mm.
And what would you say, I mean, what would be your advice to couples that want to, you know, build their real estate empire together? I think someone out there is watching this and being like, hey, I think this would be fantastic if I did this with my wife, if I did this with my husband. What is your advice? Because you mentioned it's not for everyone. What is the advice that you can give to people so they can best navigate this field together?
I would say, don't worry about the little things. If you're focused on every little issue that comes up on the business side or every little issue that comes up on the transaction side, and you allow those to take up your time and your energy, you will get exhausted. And your state of mind will change. The way you react to each other will change. Don't worry about the small stuff. Most of the time, it'll take care of itself. Assign things to each other. When small problems occur, somebody grab those and go take care of them by themselves. Don't involve the other person in every little decision, because it can become exhaustive. You don't want to, you know, spend 3 hours a day going over every minute detail of a transaction or a business issue. Because when something does need to be handled as a team, and when something comes up that is a serious issue, you want to be ready to tackle that, and you want to be on a good footing, and you want to have great communication while you're doing that, and you want to be a united front whenever there is a challenge to you, whether that be by another company, by another person, by a regulatory agency. They will come. Not everything will be perfect. Mm-hmm. Some challenge will come, and if you have spent all your time on the little things and you've constantly been bickering or arguing or spending time going back and forth about how something should be handled that is really meaningless in the end. When something real happens, you won't be ready to handle it. I've learned that over the years prior. I had the advantage of having other businesses over the years with business partners, in some cases, people that I knew well and were very close to, and in some cases, people I barely knew at all. I think we had a head start in that area because I had dealt with it many times before.
Yeah, and I like that. Thank you so much. So my question to you right now is, how do you approach goal setting? And what's the strategies that you use when you are setting goals with your team and your wife?
I don't do things the way most agents would do them. Because I'm looking at everything from a business perspective. The first thing is I do not use other companies or other agents' production as a guide to where my goal should be. Okay. What other people do doesn't matter to me. So the first thing I do is set a budget. I have office expenses, I have phone lines, I have internet, I have advertising, I have marketing, I have website maintenance, I have a whole host of vendors that I have to pay every month as a realtor. And that's going to be the case whether you have your own business or not. All realtors have expenses. And I set a budget first. And then as a business owner, and because my spouse is also the owner of the company with me, we then set a rate that we're going to get paid for the year. And we take that budget, and we take those pay rates, we incorporate that into the final budget, and we determine based on last year's sales, the previous year's sales, based on what the market conditions are at the time, okay, which is more going to be based on what the average sale price is in the market. And we also look at what the average sales price has been on the deals that we've done in our agency, because that's going to give us a pretty good idea of what our average commission will be per deal. And then we're going to decide how many deals do we need to support our budget. And one thing I would say is always incorporate your income, your personal income into that budget. Your income is just as important a line item on that budget as the office rent, as the phone bill, as the internet bill, as the marketing, advertising, whatever that might be. Excuse me.
All right, it's okay.
And then it's just a simple math problem, right? Our average commission is X. Our budget is Y. We need to know how many deals do we need to do to hit that budget and over the course of a 12-month period. And then we're going to divide that out and how many deals do we need to do per month. Pretty simple. And if you have other agents in the office, you're going to set goals for those agents in the same way, based on market conditions, based on their previous production, based on their ability, based on what they've shown you so far. You're going to incorporate the portion of their commission that you're going to hold back as an agency into that budget as well. Mm. And once you can hit that goal on a monthly basis, then you're okay. Everything else over and above that is then going to be profit for you that you can make decisions on later. Do we want to hold that in reserves? Mm. Do we want to use that for additional marketing? Do we have enough people that if we ramp up marketing and advertising and bring in more leads and bring in more deals that we can actually take care of those people and provide the service that we normally provide? So my goals are set on a financial basis more than they are on market conditions or on competitors' volume. I think the big mistake people make is they say, if I want to be in the top 10% in my market, I need to do X number of deals. If X number of deals doesn't hit your budget, then at the end of the year, you might get a plaque that says you were at the top 10%, but if your bills aren't paid, that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
It is.
And that plaque's not worth any money, I promise you. You can't take it down and cash it in.
You really can.
So I think the approach has to be like any other business.
Well, I love that because you're right. You have to approach it like a business because it is a business. You know,
it
you
is.
Really can't approach it like it's a regular 9 to 5 or something that you're trying to figure out as you're going. Thank you so much for that, Keith. And one of the things that I wanted to find out is you guys have an amazing team that has been doing very, very well. I want to find out from your position in the business, what are your, I would say, what strategies do you implement in marketing to ensure that you always achieve the goals that you've set for your team? How do you, I'd say, how do you also adapt to changes in the market, or just your marketing strategies to adapt to changes in the market as well?
Yeah, we, on the marketing standpoint, I will tell you, I've run a healthcare company. I've run a nonprofit. I used to run auto dealerships. I run a lot of different types of businesses. And my strategy in general, when I come into a new business, a new operation, is to first look at the market, understand what my competitors are advertising, and then look at the volume of the people who are in the market currently to see who is in the higher ranges of production. Okay. Or to translate that to any other business, who has the higher sales.
Okay.
And I'm not looking at a Remax office that has 300 agents that's been around since 1974. I'm looking at other small businesses that are in our range to see what type of volume are they doing and what marketing strategies are they using. And then I look at the market overall and look at it from a client perspective of, hey, if I'm out looking for a realtor, okay, what am I looking for? When I looked at the market, I realized something very, very strange that I'd never seen in any other market before. And that was, everybody is providing the same exact service and everybody is charging the exact same fee. I don't know that there's any other business in the world where that exists. Okay. And so that seemed very strange to me. So I said, okay, let's look at this. In our market, there are no set commissions in our market. There's no set commissions in any market because the law prohibits there being a set commission. But there is an average, and there is a consistent number that seems to be paid in every market on the listing and the buyer side. So when I looked at the Colorado Springs market, the El Paso County, Colorado market, I saw that those numbers were about 6%. So in most cases, the listing agent was charging 3% and they were paying the buyer's agent 3% as well. And so I look at these numbers and I think, okay, everybody's paying the same fee and everybody's marketing really looks the same, right? It's some variation of I'm really, really good at it. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been in the area a long time. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of transactions. So that's really the marketing that I saw, and it was very consistent. And if you looked at 15 real estate ads across 15 different companies, you would probably see an almost identical ad in almost every. So I said, how do you break into a market where everybody has the same ad, everybody charges the same price, mm-hmm. and everybody, because the regulations require that everybody do the transaction the exact same way, right? So why choose us? Okay. Who you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Right. You don't know my name. I've never done real estate in Colorado. My wife's not done real estate in Colorado Springs or El Paso County. Mm-hmm. Why would you choose us? And so my strategy was just to do everything different. So the first thing I did was, instead of just accepting what the normal rate of pay was or the normal fee was, I sat down and worked up the budget. And again, office expense, advertising, marketing, phone bill, internet, what does my salary need to be in the beginning? What does her salary need to be in the beginning? And then How much do I need? How many deals could I reasonably do in year one, year two, year three?
Yeah.
And how much do I need to make per deal to hit that budget? And what my math showed was, based on the expenses and based on what it costs to do a real estate deal for an agency, my numbers came out to 1.5%. So if I make 1.5% of the sale price on a real estate deal, I'm profitable. Everybody else is charging 3%. So it's simple. I'll set myself apart. I'll just charge 1.5% instead of 3%. So the next thing was that I realized once I started to implement that strategy was there was a perception in the real estate world, mostly among realtors themselves, that was taught to them in real estate school, that was taught to them at their first training agency, was anybody who charges less than 3% is providing a lower level of service and giving us all a bad name.
Yeah.
They're what we call discount agencies. That didn't occur to me because since there's no set fee and we can set whatever fee we want, how could there be a discount from, you can't discount a fee that doesn't exist as a set number.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
simply charging what is profitable to us.
Yeah.
Don't really care what everybody else charges. So when we looked at that scenario, most of our advertising became geared around, we are the most experienced. My wife being almost 28 years in the business, in most cases, we're going to be the most experienced agent. The person who oversees your deal as the head of the agency will be the most experienced. Then we focused on customer satisfaction. So we tried to get people to write reviews. Mm-hmm. When we got people to write reviews, I would blow up those reviews and turn them into signs and put them all around our office. Instead of art on the walls, when you walk into the office, you see a picture of a review from a client who got a deal from us and who loved Tamara and said it was the best experience they ever had. So our strategy was, we charge a lower fee for better service from a more experienced agent. And people responded to that. And so we found a lot of unique ways to do that. Now, in the real estate business, again, very different than any other business, right? It's not you sell a widget for $10, I sell it for $5,
yeah,
right? The way those commissions are structured on the buyer side, they're coming from the seller, okay? So in the real estate world, the way to charge somebody half as much as a buyer's agent is you're going to get paid 3% in most cases from the seller anyway. So the only way to charge that client 1.5 instead of 3, which they are paying, it's built into the sale price, we simply give them back 1.5% as a rebate. So if you buy a home for $500,000, the commission is going to be $15,000. We're going to keep $7,500. We're going to give you $7,500. Pretty simple. You're going to have to pay the $7,500 because that commission is built into the sale price. But we're going to give you back half of it. You can use it to buy your rate down. You can use it for closing costs. You can use it to build a fence. You can use it to buy new appliances. You can use it to do whatever you want. It's your money. And so that strategy started to take hold. And what happened naturally was, clients, when they get a deal, when they get something that they know that normally doesn't happen, they go and tell all their friends, right? So you go to a car dealership and you get a huge rebate, a huge discount, and a 0% interest rate. What do? You go tell your friend, man, you're not going to believe this deal I got, right?
Yeah.
When you go in and you pay MSRP and 8%, you don't really go tell all your friends, do you?
No.
So when I looked at the referral rates of the average agent, where I saw they were getting a 10 or 15% referral rate, so for every 10 deals they did, they would get one referral. That was pretty average in our market. What I found by year 2 and 3 in our business is we were running about an 80% referral rate. We had been seeing almost every 8 out of the 10 clients we did business with had sent us at least one referral.
Wow.
So these people were going back to work. They were going to their social circles. They were going on social media and they were bragging to their friends and family about the deal they got when they bought their house.
Wow.
And so that strategy paid off. And so for us, you know, if we list your home to sell, we charge you 1.5%, not 3%. If we sell you a home, or if we are your buyer's agent, we give you back half the commission. So you pay 1.5 instead of 3. So if you call Corliss Realty, it's pretty easy for me to explain why you should do business with us.
Yeah.
Doing business with somebody, with the guy down the street, is now a $7,500 decision.
Oh my God. Wow.
So that was the strategy I used. We've been using it now for almost 9 years. It served us well.
Keith, I must say, you are a genius. You blew my mind with that. I was not expecting to hear that. Normally when I ask this question, I was like, okay, I was expecting to hear, oh, yeah, you just bumped up our social media campaigns. You know, we did TikTok videos around houses. I was like, no, this is so well planned. And I love that. I love what you're doing with your company. And yeah, I will say to you, this is something that no one else is doing. And if you're listening right now and you're trying to buy a house or you want to sell a house, look, you now know that it's a $7,500 decision. You can now either call Keith right now or you could lose out on $7,500. The choice is yours. Keith, thank you so much. I just think we didn't have enough time to really talk about this. We could go on and on. I really hope we will get you again so we can talk more about this. Thank you so much, Keith. And I know that some people are not even, you know, thinking twice right now. They're like, nah, it's not a question for me. I really need that $7,500. How can we get in contact with Keith? How can the people get in contact with you, Keith?
So very simple. Just go to CorlissRealty.com. Yep. We are on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are pretty easy to find. You can call the office at 719-470-0178, or you can call me directly on my cell phone at 719-433-6372, and I will explain the program to you. And in today's market, where rates are high and things can be difficult, you would be surprised at what 1.5% of the sale price can do to lower your interest rate and put you in a good position to purchase a home at a much lower payment than you would in any other situation. So let us show you how that math works so you can see what kind of impact it can have. And we have mortgage partners. I do own a mortgage company as well, but we have many mortgage partners that can help. And when you look at what that savings can get you along with a little help from a seller, you'd be shocked at what you can do in today's market compared to another client who has to pull that money out of their pocket. So if you're worried about interest rates right now, we can fix that, and we'll fix it with our money, not yours. So don't worry about that.
Ooh, I don't know about you, but I'm going to make a quick trip to the bank and give Keith a call right after this recording. Because, wow, if you're not doing that, if you're not going to do that, I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know what you're prioritizing right now, because this over here makes sense. Keith, thank you so much. On behalf of the whole team and our audience, thank you for really taking the time to educate us. And I would like to send out love to you and Tamara and the team for the amazing work that you guys have been doing. You guys are amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. If you got this far and this has added value to you, do yourself a favor. Do your friend a favor. You know your friend needs a house right now. Send this over to them. Send this over to them and send it over to your colleagues as well, because they're going to love you after this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been Timothy Caetano on the Icons of Real Estate podcast. Till we meet again, take care and bye.
We'll be right back.